Sure. Why would someone do something like that anyway?
Her mother said, Miss Greer said you two had an altercation earlier today. Something about you climbing over her fence to get a ball.
Yes, I did get my ball, and she did yell at me, but that was it.
She said you yelled back at her later when she was on the way to the store.
No, I didn't,
Junk Gwinnett said on the brink of tears.
I didn't see her at all after that.
Her parents eyed each other with confused expressions. Finally, her mother patted her on the hand. Go back to sleep. Everything will be all right. The next morning, Junk Gwinnett headed back upstairs after breakfast to get dressed for the day. There wasn't much to do, but she figured she could ride her bike around the block. She entered her room to find both her parents standing there. Her father had an empty can of rat poison in his hand. I found this under your bed. Junk Gwinnett fell on the floor and cried.
I didn't do anything!
Chapter 5. April, 1991. 7th grade. Junk Gwinnett sat in the bleachers, faking a muscle spasm as usual. She hated to participate in gym class. It was ironic because at home she had become obsessed with physical fitness. All of the baby fat was long gone, and she had an hourglass shape. Many of the boys that used to tease her in elementary school were now sweating her to go out with them. She was too nervous to even think about the prospect of dating. Sheila Vale hated Junk Gwinnett, but no one truly understood why. Junk Gwinnett kept to herself, tried to concentrate on her studies, and went directly home from school every single day. Sheila came over to the bleachers, dressed in her gym uniform, and folded her arms over her chest.
So what's supposed to be wrong with you today?
Junk Gwinnett eyed her.
I have a muscle spasm.
Again? You don't look like you have a damn thing wrong with you.
Junk Gwinnett didn't respond. She waited for someone to come to her rescue, and a few seconds later someone did. Miss Yates, their teacher, yelled toward them.
Sheila, what are you doing? Leave Junk Gwinnett alone. She's not feeling well.
Sheila smacked her lips and walked off. After class ended, Junk Gwinnett was in the locker room organizing her locker when she heard several people approach her from behind. She turned to find Sheila and a few of her flunkies staring at her. Sheila stepped forward.
I don't believe there's a damn thing wrong with you. Take off your clothes.
Take off my clothes? Junk Gwinnett asked in disbelief.
Yes, take them off or I'll take them off for you.
Everyone had gathered around laughing. Not one single girl seemed to be on Junk Gwinnett's side. She looked toward Miss Yates' office, but she wasn't in there.
I'm not taking off my clothes, Sheila.
Junk Gwinnett slammed her locker, grabbed her book bag, and tried to get past the group.
Excuse me.
Sheila grabbed her arm.
Maybe you didn't hear me good enough. I said, take your clothes off.
Junk Gwinnett started breathing heavily. She saw no way to escape. She blinked twice, and then Jude glared at Sheila before speaking in a threatening tone.
If you don't get out of my way, I will break every bone in your body. You don't want to fuck with me. Just ask Brenda Morrison.
Fear came over Sheila's face. Everyone had heard about what Junk Gwinnett had done in second grade, and many of them had attended the same school. Brenda and the other two girls had never returned to school, but Junk Gwinnett had returned after a week suspension. Jude continued,
Now, are you going to move out of my way, or do I need to start putting foot to ass?
Damn, one girl yelled out. Check out Junk Gwinnett breaking bad. A roar of laughter engulfed the room. Miss Yates came in and said, Break it up. Next period starts in 5 minutes. The next day, Jude asked for a bathroom pass during her second period calculus class. Instead of going to the bathroom, she headed to the girls' locker room and retrieved 3 bottles of hair remover she had placed there earlier that morning. By the time gym class started, 4th period, the dirt had already been done. It was a particularly sweaty period because Miss Yates had them run around the indoor track for an entire 30 minutes. Because one girl misbehaved, they were all being punished. Jude fell right in with the rest of them, shocking just about everyone there. Not only did she run, she outran all of them for the entire 30 minutes. Jude wanted to show the world their bomb-ass body. After the 30 minutes were up, Miss Yates told them to hit the showers, and that's when Jude started acting like John again. She went into a stall to change and skipped the shower, for good reason.
"Oh, my God!" was the first thing she heard someone yell out. "What happened to your hair?"
Then there was just a bunch of screaming as Jude strolled out of the locker room, laughing her ass off. Junquenette found the 3 empty bottles in her locker the following day. Most of the females in her gym class were no-shows that day. They were all at home wondering what they could do about their baldness. Junquenette held the bottles in her hand, sat down on the bench, and started crying. Chapter 6. After discussing it with her husband, Jason, Zoe had made up her mind to help the young woman who always seemed withdrawn. As always, she showed up for the meeting, lurked in the back of the room, and tried to sneak out without being noticed. This time, Zoe followed her. She caught up to her in the parking lot, climbing into a late-model Honda.
"Excuse me, young lady?"
Zoe called out to her. She stared at Zoe uneasily.
"Yes?"
"I was just wondering if you needed anything."
"Anything like what?"
Zoe walked closer to her, proceeding with caution. She didn't want to scare her off by overstepping her boundaries.
"It's just that I notice you here every week, but you never say anything."
The woman's eyes dropped to the ground.
"Maybe I don't have anything to say."
Zoe forced a smile.
"Oh, I don't think that's true at all. You wouldn't come to the meeting if something wasn't bothering you. This is Hotlanta, after all.
I wouldn't exactly call a sexual addiction meeting someplace to hang out and enjoy the scenery." The woman didn't respond or look back up.
"I just wanted you to know that if you ever need someone to talk to, in private, I'm available. Trust me, there's nothing you could tell me that I wouldn't understand. If you knew what I've been through, you would realize that things can always get worse."
The woman fumbled with her keys, hesitating between climbing all the way into the car or standing there. Finally, she said, "What makes you think what you've been through is worse than what I've been through?"
Zoe frowned. That was a good point.
As horrid as her life had been, she had no clue what this beautiful young woman had endured in her short life.
"You're right. That just tells me that maybe I'm not the one you should be talking to. But I do have another suggestion."
"What's that?"
Zoe walked all the way up to her and reached into her jacket pocket to retrieve a business card. She handed it to the young woman.
"Call her. She's the one who helped me. And I'm sure she can help you also. If it weren't for her, I wouldn't be alive today. Much less attending these meetings."
The woman eyed Zoe suspiciously before reading the card.
"She's really all that, huh?"
"Yes, she is.
Just give her a chance. You won't regret it."
"Thank you."
"You're welcome." No more words were spoken between them. Zoe walked back inside, hearing the woman start the ignition of her Honda and pull off. Chapter 7. Junquenette. I sat at my desk staring at the card. Dr. Marcella Spencer, a psychiatrist. Was I ready for that? There had been so many years of questioning, so many blackouts, so much pain. Darnetta poked her head into my office.
"What's up, girl? Can I come in?"
I put the card under my desk pad out of her view.
"Sure, I have a moment."
"How's business?"
Darnetta asked as she sat down opposite me at the desk.
"Better."
"Thank goodness, because Boss Man has been walking around here beat red like he might croak any second."
I laughed. "He'll survive. All businesses have slow periods, but things are picking up." Darnetta worked in accounts receivable and was very good at collections. I often wondered if people just agreed to pay us so they wouldn't have to listen to her squeaky voice over the phone anymore.
"Well, I'm glad we're shipping more product, because he's really been on those of us over in my department about closing out past due invoices. You would have thought his house was about to go into foreclosure or something."
"Trust me, when I say that Mr. Wilson has no problem paying his bills, it's his staff members that have to pinch pennies."
"Speaking of which, have you heard anything about Ray's reviews coming up?"
No, he'll probably pull that old we'll show our appreciation with Christmas bonuses routine. Darnetta said,
He's such a joy.
We both laughed.
So, John, you remember what you told me?
About what?
The next time I ask you to go someplace.
I sighed deeply, not wanting to imagine what would come out of her mouth next. Yes, I remember.
Good, because Logan's in a wedding next weekend, and I refuse to sit in the pews alone while he stands up for one of his immature, silly little friends. I need someone to keep me company. So how about it?
She knew she had me. I'd already made a promise. What time and where? Darnetta snickered with delight.
The wedding is on Saturday at 4, downtown, and I'll pick you up at 3. Cool?
Sounds like a winner, I lied.
Great!
Darnetta jumped up and headed for the door.
Well, I'm about to go enjoy what's left of my lunch hour. I can't believe in this day and time we still have to punch time clocks. That is so primal.
I couldn't help but agree. I know, it doesn't make sense, but Mr. Wilson is old-fashioned in many ways.
No, he's just plain old. What is he, about 190?
I chuckled. You better watch yourself. I wouldn't put hidden cameras in the walls past him. Darnetta eyed the walls, taking me seriously. You can relax. He's too cheap to invest in them.
Whew! You had me going for a second. Catch you later.
Later. After she was safely down the hall, I closed my office door, went back to my desk, and retrieved the card from under the desk pad. Dr. Marcella Spencer. Can you really help me? I picked up the phone and called to make an appointment. When I got home, I noticed a U-Haul truck in the parking lot of the complex and wondered if the vacant apartment below me had finally been rented out. There were some college kids living there, but they'd broken the lease and moved to Georgia Tech campus. Thank goodness, because their loud rock music was raking on my nerves. I was on the second floor landing, not paying attention to where I was going because I was searching through my purse for some Tylenol to take the second I could grab a cup of water to wash it down, when I bumped right into the back end of a floor model television. I stubbed my toe, the same one I'm always prone to banging against something, and yelled out in pain. A man appeared in the doorway of 2D. Oh, no, I'm so sorry. I didn't mean to have this thing out in the hallway so long. I just stared at him. I tried to say something, but I'm not even sure I was actually breathing. He was... Excuse me, miss. Are you all right? He asked. Yes, I'm fine, I finally managed to say. I just hit my toe. Well, toes can be the source of much pain, he said jokingly. I forced a smile. True. I walked around the television and headed for the stairs leading to the third floor. My floor. I'm Mason. Mason Copeland. Moving in? Yes. I just decided to check out Atlanta for a while. I'm originally from D.C., the Chocolate City. That's cool. I used to live in Philadelphia when I first graduated from college. I didn't know why I asked the next question, but I did. Is your wife home? I'd like to meet her. Wife? No, I'm single. He grinned at me and added, single and extremely available and accessible. I cleared my throat. Well, with all the female singles around here, you won't be for long. Are you one of the female singles around here? I couldn't prevent the blush. Yeah, I guess so. Name? Jonquinette Pierce. Jonquinette Pierce. Beautiful name for a beautiful lady. Another blush. Thanks, but I really have to go. I started up the steps. Jonquinette? I turned and saw his head over the railing. Yes? Maybe you can help me get settled in. Aren't neighbors supposed to greet newbies with a pound cake or a pecan pie or something? I giggled. I'm not a baker. I can't even make toast without burning it. He frowned and then laughed. There's always store-bought. Now that's a thought. I hurried the rest of the way to my apartment. My headache was really tormenting me, and I just wanted to take something for it and lie down. Jude.
Mason Copeland, huh? I don't even think so. I just knew that Joan would haul ass the way she always did whenever a man said something to her. How dare she actually flirt with him? I wouldn't have that nonsense. No way. Granted, the man looked good. Damn good. If I saw a brother with honey almond skin, hazel eyes, and dreads someplace inconspicuous, it would definitely be on. But this Mason, hunk or not, lived right below us, and that shit was out of the question. No serious relationships. Just sex. And I was the only one entitled to that. Joan was really tripping lately. First calling up that shrink bitch's office. Now she was holding actual conversations with men. Something had to be done. Something would be done. I'd worked too hard for control. And I'd do whatever it took to keep things just the way they were. Chapter 8. Junquenette. I circled the office building 5 times in my car, debating about keeping my appointment. I yearned to let go of all the emotions that were balled up inside of me, but talking to a complete stranger about my problems didn't sit quite right with me. No matter what accolades Dr. Marcella Spencer had received, I didn't know her from a hole in the wall, and I had serious enough problems talking to people I actually knew. I finally parked and got up enough nerve to get out of the car and walk into the building. I caught the elevator up to her floor and located the correct office. There were 2 other people waiting in front of me. Great. I'd have to sit there and let the anticipation build. I gave my name to the secretary, and she gave me some forms to fill out. They took all of 5 minutes, leaving me with what turned out to be only a short wait because the 2 people were waiting on a third to come out of the inner office. He was the authentic patient, and I stared at him while he exited, wondering how a person that appeared so normal could need a psychiatrist. 5 minutes later, I found myself sitting across an expensive desk from a strikingly beautiful woman. My first thought was, why would she go into her chosen profession when she could have been a high-end fashion model or something? Junquenette? Lovely name. Thank you. What brings you to see me today? That was one hell of a good question. Dr. Spencer, what's the definition of insanity? I asked her, unable to meet her eyes with my own. I know what I've heard. What have you heard? That insanity is doing the same thing over and over again and expecting a different result. Do you believe that? No, not really. I believe that's just something a self-proclaimed prophet made up to sugarcoat the term. She giggled. Interesting thought. I waited for her to get her laugh out and then dropped the bomb. I think I'm insane. I think I've been insane for a very long time. As suspected, Dr. Spencer stopped smiling. What makes you say that? Strange things. Things I can't remember. I'm not following you. I knew discussing matters would be tremendously complicated, but I was shaking like a leaf. I was scared, but the thought of walking out of her office and facing my life the way it had been for the past 15 years was even worse. Nasty, vile things written in my handwriting that I don't remember writing. People accusing me of things I don't recall doing. I mean, all of them can't be mistaken, right? All of them? She asked. My daddy, people I went to school with. Everyone who's ever accused me of something. Could you please elaborate? I got up from the chair and started pacing the floor. I'm sorry. I know this must make zero sense. It doesn't even make sense to me, and I'm right in the middle of it. Right in the middle of what? I smirked. Hell. Right smack dab in the middle of hell. When did people start accusing you of things? 2nd grade. 2nd grade. I sat back down and folded my hands on my lap, trying to prevent them from shaking. Yes, it was the day someone beat up Brenda Morrison and 2 other girls in the bathroom. Brenda had 2 black eyes, 3 broken ribs, and a smashed knee. I'll never forget the way she looked when they took her away in the ambulance. And they said you did that to them? Yes, but it doesn't make sense. I was terrified of Brenda.
She was the biggest bully in the entire school.
Why do you think they accused you?
I shrugged my shoulders. Brenda said I did it. So did the others. She said it was me, but it couldn't have been. They said I followed them into the bathroom from the playground, but I don't even remember half of recess that day.
There were more instances after that one?
Several. Please, tell me about them, Jean-Quinette, if it isn't too painful.
It's painful,
but that's why I came here. I finally looked Dr. Spencer in the eyes. There was Miss Greer's dog.
Miss Greer?
Our next-door neighbor when we lived in Florida. She was the nicest old lady, and I swear I'd never do anything to hurt her. I'd never do that. Not ever.
But someone did?
She said I was on the porch complaining about Shadow, her poodle, barking. I never did that. I loved Shadow.
Whom did she tell that to?
My parents. She came over after...
After...
I hesitated.
After what?
After someone poisoned Shadow. It wasn't me. I wouldn't even know where to get any rat poison, but...
But?
I lowered my eyes. My daddy found an empty can under my bed.
And Shadow was poisoned to death?
Yes, poor thing.
And the next incident?
7th grade. Someone put hair remover in the shampoo bottles in the girls' locker room.
They said you did it.
No, no one said I did it that time.
Then what makes you think you had something to do with it?
3 empty bottles of hair remover in my locker.
Oh, I see.
It just went on and on until...
Until what?
Until the really bad things started to happen.
What sort of things?
The tears started falling before I felt them coming.
I can't do this.
I wiped my tears with my bare hand.
I'm sorry, but I just can't.
Dr. Spencer got up, walked around the desk, and started caressing my shoulder.
Jean-Quinette, please continue. I can't help you unless you confide in me.
I didn't really come here to discuss my childhood, I whispered.
Then what did you come here to discuss?
The things that are happening to me now.
Like?
I was so ashamed, but it had to come out. The reason I think I'm insane is because I wake up sometimes and I'm wearing clothes I've never seen. My hair is curled instead of up. My glasses are tossed someplace.
A couple of times they're even broken.
And then there's the other stuff.
What other stuff?
I clamped my eyes shut. I'd never felt so degraded. Dr. Spencer, sometimes there are strange smells on my body, on my breath, all over me. Sometimes there's sticky stuff between my legs and...
Dr. Spencer sat down on the corner of her desk, facing me, and lifted my chin with her hand so I'd look at her.
Jean-Quinette, are you telling me that you have sex with men and don't remember it?
That's the really crazy part, Dr. Spencer.
Please, call me Marcella.
Marcella, I've never been with a man. I've never had sex, but...
But?
Somehow I managed to break my hymen and even contract one venereal disease.
How do you know that?
An OBGYN told me. My freshman year in college, something happened to me. I had gone to the library one day to study, and somehow I blacked out. Afterward, I went to the campus clinic because I was sore down there, and I didn't know why.
And this has been happening ever since then?
Yes, it has.
Admitting it caused an instant breakdown, I grabbed hold to Marcella's arm and began to cry. I buried my head into her chest. She wrapped her other arm around me.
I'm so afraid, I whimpered. What's wrong with me? Am I really insane?
No, I don't think you're insane, she said reassuringly. If you were insane, you wouldn't have sought me out to help you. And I will help you, Jean-Quinette. I promise you that.
Chapter 9 Jude
Joan had lost her fucking mind. I couldn't believe she went up there and told that bitch all of our fucking business. She was gonna have to pay for that. And promising that doctor chick that she'd let her continue to help? Not as long as there was one breath left in my body. To top things off, Joan had the nerve to leave there and go to the grocery store. She knew how much I hated the grocery store. Nothing but a bunch of bratty-ass kids begging their parents for candy, sugar-infested juices, or salty foods. When I took over, we were walking down the pasta aisle. Of course, there was a hard-headed chap blocking the way. I jerked my car toward him, but he didn't budge, just glared at me and rolled his eyes. His mother was picking out a box of elbow macaroni.
Ahem. Could you tell your kid to move the hell out of my way? I lashed out at her. She snickered like she couldn't believe I actually said that.
Are you going to move him, or should I just knock his ass over with my cart?
She grabbed her son by the shoulders and pulled him aside. Move over here, David, she leered at me. You don't have to be so rude, miss. He's just a child. I picked up the nearest jar of spaghetti sauce and smashed it on the floor. I leaned down and picked up the lid. There was shattered glass attached to it. I held it up, and she hauled ass with her kid in tow. I laughed. That's what she gets, fucking with me. I smashed a few more jars to get rid of some of the anger Joan had stirred up in me by telling our business. By the time I turned the corner, one of the store managers was rushing to see about the noise. You need to clean up aisle 5, I told him. Some bratty kid was pitching a fit, and his mother allowed him to have a temper tantrum. If I were you, I'd make them pay for it. It makes no sense. He shook his head in dismay. I don't know what's wrong with kids these days.
Me either. If you hurry, you might be able to catch them up by the registers. She has on this horrid pastel dress, and he has on a Teletubbies tee.
Thank you, miss, he said before taking off for the bank of cash registers. I smirked. I knew that Heifer and her brat were long gone if they had any sense. I decided to peruse the meat cases since I was already there. It had been ages since Joan had fixed a decent meal. I didn't understand why she didn't like eating out. We made enough money to eat out at least 3 times a week, but she was on this cooking healthy meals kick. I was so sick of chicken that I didn't know what to do. I thought back to all the shit Joan had told that doctor. She made it seem like I was a bad person. Like I was in the wrong all those times. Didn't Joan realize that I did all that to protect her? That Brenda Morrison chick in second grade had issues. Always teasing Joan about her clothes and hair. Always glaring down her little aquiline nose at us. That day on the playground, she went too far. She called Joan a fat pig demanding more money, and I wasn't having that. So yes, I kicked the little slut's ass. Beat the shit out of her and her friends. They deserved it. Now, I will admit that I felt a little bad about poisoning Shadow. He was a cute little poodle. But I had to do it. Miss Greer hollered at Joan for no reason about running on her yard to get a ball. I mean, get real. Shadow could take his little dumps all over her yard at will, but Joan couldn't get her ball back? So, yes, I told her to make that dog stop barking while I was sitting on the porch. His barking wasn't bothering me that much, but I was trying to play Jackson peace. I really just wanted to get into it with Miss Greer after what she had done to Joan. She took it a little too far, though. Talked a bit too much trash. Sorry, Shadow, wherever you are, but the bitch had to pay. As for those sluts in 7th grade, they're lucky all they ended up with were bald heads. I started to buy everyone pizza and sprinkle rat poison all over it. The shit had worked so well on Shadow that I knew it would do them all in. But there was one problem. They all hated Joan, and she never uttered a word to them. Just cringed up in fear every time they looked in her direction, changed in the stall instead of in front of them, and sat in the bleachers during gym class. I never understood that shit. Joan would take a failing grade instead of participating. Personally, I know for a fact that we could have showed all their asses up. By that time, Joan had started working the hell out of the treadmill we had in the basement at home and drinking water by the gallon. All the baby fat was gone, and we were in awesome shape, even back then.
What really pisses me off was Joan talking about my sex life. Something she didn't know jack shit about. Thank goodness she didn't, because I didn't want that doctor bitch knowing how I like to get my freak on. As far as I was concerned, it was my pussy, not Joan's. I'd do what I wanted with it, when I wanted, and no one was going to stop me. I was highly disappointed with the selection of steaks. Half of them looked brown or were laden with fat. Someone really needed to report that grocery store. Every time we went in there, the meat looked less than kosher. Even some of the chicken Joan purchased reeked with salmonella. I picked up a porterhouse steak and started sniffing the package. I didn't want to get home, rip off the plastic, and fall out from the stench. Is there something wrong with the meat? I glanced to my left and saw this fine specimen of a brother standing there in a blood-covered apron and paper hat. He was tall with sepia skin and dark eyes. Yes, the hell there is something wrong with the meat. The smile on his face dissolved, and he crossed his arms in front of him like I'd just personally insulted him. What's wrong with it? I tossed the package back into the case and put my hands on my hips. Nobody out-attitudes me. Every single time I come up in here, the meat looks foul. I pointed a few feet down to the chicken. Especially the chicken. What's up with all the yellow? Granted, I don't work for the FDA or anything, but damn. He broke out in laughter. That sort of turned me on. I apologize for the quality of meat. And between me and you, I've been waiting for someone to come in here and tell it like it is. He leaned in closer to me, and even though he'd obviously been butchering meat all day, I could still pick up on the faint scent of his cologne. I kept telling the manager that some of this meat is bad, but he continues to sell it anyway. I grinned at him. Well, maybe I'll blow the whistle on them and call one of those investigative TV shows or something. Maybe you should. We both laughed. I started squeezing his upper arm because I wanted to know what he was hiding underneath that tacky uniform. I wouldn't want to cause you to lose your job, though, I said sarcastically. What on earth would you do then? I have other talents. I bet you do. I eyed him seductively. Can I see where you butcher your meat? Huh? I said, can I see where you butcher your meat? We're not supposed to have customers back there. So you'd risk losing your job over bad meat, but you won't risk it over me? I stuck my bottom lip out. I'm hurt. Aw, don't be that way. He licked his lips and started looking around to see if the coast was clear before taking my hand and leading me to a set of double doors. I guess it wouldn't harm anything for you to take a look. We were in the meat locker, and just like it appeared in movies, it was cold up in there. It's cold as shit, I exclaimed. He laughed. By the way, I'm Lewis. So it says on your name tag. Since you don't have a name tag, how about telling me yours? You can call me whatever you like, but I'd rather not talk at all. I grabbed him by the back of his neck and slipped my tongue into his mouth briefly. So what are your other talents? Huh? You said out there that you have other talents. I decided it was high time to see what he was holding, so I grabbed his dick. Nice. Very nice. Thank you. He started palming my tits. These are nice, too. Wanna suck 'em? He looked at the door to the freezer. The coast was still clear. I might lose my job behind this. You better make this good. I laughed. I make everything good, baby. Joan had on this tired-ass, homely dress, but it was easy to get out of, and before long, I was nude and holding on to a vacant meat hook with my hands surrounded by sides of beef. Lewis was on his knees with my legs wrapped around his shoulders and his tongue was exploring my pussy. It felt exhilarating. I threw my head back, closed my eyes, and whispered, "You see, Joan, I run this. This is my party." Lewis stopped going down on me. "Who the fuck is Joan?" "I'm Lewis." I dug my fingernails down into his hair and pushed his head back into my pussy. Shut the hell up and eat. Chapter 10 Junquenet. What a boring week at work. While I enjoyed peace and quiet, it was even a little too much for me. I couldn't wait until my appointment with Dr. Spencer on Monday. Hopefully, this time I could bring myself to tell her more about what had happened to me. It was hard to believe that I was willing to open up like that, but I didn't see any other choice. I hadn't had any weird smells on me that week. Male smells. But something strange did happen that morning. I was sleeping late since it was Saturday, and my phone rang. I grabbed it because I assumed it was Mama. I knew that she was due back late the night before, and I was right in my assumption. "Junquenet, baby?" She squealed into the phone. "I'm back! Did you miss me?" "Of course I missed you, Mama. I really did miss her, too. Even though Mama and I didn't see each other all the time, when she was in Atlanta, it was a source of comfort to know that she was right across town whenever I needed her. Unlike Daddy. Did you enjoy Europe?"
"That's the understatement of the century, baby. I had the time of my life."
"That's great, Mama. You deserved it.
So what have you been doing with yourself?
I hope you aren't still cooped up in that apartment every weekend. Life's too short for that."
"I get out and hang with some of my friends whenever I get the chance."
I lied. "Most of the time I bring work home with me and end up buried in that for hours."
"They don't pay you enough to bring your work home, Junquenet. I still don't know why you want to become an accountant. You could have been anything you wanted to be."
"I wanted to be an accountant, Mama, and I'm very satisfied with my job." She sighed, voicing her disapproval that way.
"Well, you're still young, so if you ever want to try another profession, it's never too late."
She had a lot of nerve. All she'd ever been was a housewife, and after she kicked Daddy out, she moved in one sugar daddy after another to cover her bills.
"I'm happy, Mama. Can't you just be happy for me?"
"Whatever you say." There was a pregnant pause while we both gathered our thoughts.
"Junquenet, how about dinner tomorrow?"
"I have to go to church."
"Church doesn't last all day. I'm talking about tomorrow evening. Say about 6 at Ram's Head's Tavern over in Buckhead."
I really didn't want to go to dinner with Mama, but knew I'd never hear the end of it if I didn't make her happy. "Okay, Mama, I'll be there."
"Great," she giggled.
"I could tell you were sleeping when I called, so I'll let you go.
See you tomorrow, and don't be late."
"I won't be." She hung up. Mama had this thing about never saying goodbye. I think it was because her first childhood memory revolved around tragedy. She remembered kissing her grandparents goodbye one morning when they left for the mom-and-pop store they owned on the coast of Miami. They never came back. 2 masked gunmen took their lives for a measly $37. Mama's parents were janitors, but somehow she turned out to be extremely materialistic, along with her 2 sisters. I stared up at the ceiling, but I knew sleep wouldn't come easily for me again. After 5 minutes or so, I decided to see if the Saturday morning news was still on. I reached for the remote on my nightstand and hit the power button. After I propped my back up on a bank of pillows, I yawned and eyed the screen. I sat there for 2 hours, staring at it, wondering when, why, and how I'd written the words, "You'll never win," on the television in red lipstick. After I finally managed to move, I decided to just make the best of it. This wasn't the first time I'd seen something written by my hands that I never wrote. "You'll never win" made no sense to me. Who'll never win what? I was wiping the words off with paper towels and glass cleaner when a knock came at the door. That irritated me because no one ever came to my door unless they were selling something. I was stunned when I glanced through the peephole and Mason was standing there. As soon as I opened the door, he winked at me. "Is this the apartment of a female single? I hear there are a lot of them around here." I fought to suppress a laugh. Yeah, I'm a female single." "Good." I thought I might have the wrong place for a second, and I wouldn't want to get attacked by a jealous husband or boyfriend. "Well, I don't have one of those either." "My lucky day." "So how do you like your new place?" "It's okay." He held out his hand and presented me with an apple pie on a glass plate. Since I waited around for a week for the welcoming committee to grace me with the pie and no one showed up, I figured I might as well break tradition and welcome myself. Oh my goodness, did he really expect me to bring him sweets? I apologize, I said sincerely. If I'd known that you really anticipated me getting you something, I would have. He chuckled. I'm just kidding with you, Jonquinette. I'll be honest. I wanted to see you again, and I haven't been able to catch you in the hallway, so I decided to come up here, growling for attention instead. I took the pie from him. Thanks for the pie. Did you bake this? Are you kidding? I can't even boil water. Now that I can do. You just can't make toast, he asked jokingly. Right, I can't make toast. He cleared his throat and ducked his head into my apartment. Nice place. Thanks. I knew what he was hinting at, but wasn't sure I was ready to invite a man who wasn't there to fix something inside of my apartment. He didn't appear to have plans to leave until I did, so I said, "Would you like to come in?" Thanks, I thought you'd never ask. I moved out of the way so he could enter and headed toward the kitchen. Feel free to have a seat, I'll be right back. I set the pie plate down on the counter and had to lean against it to catch my breath. My knees were wobbling and my hands were suddenly sweating. I ran them under cold water and lathered them with soap, splashing some of the water on my face. At that moment, I wish I'd taken the time to get properly dressed instead of staring at my television screen for so long. I felt someone behind me and jerked around. Mason was standing there. I'm sorry, I didn't mean to startle you, Jonquinette. No, you didn't. I turned off the water and reached into the cabinet for a couple of saucers. I was just going to cut the pie. It looks delicious. Would you like a piece? Absolutely. That pie cost me about $10. We both laughed. I didn't want to get you one of those cheap pies from the grocery store, so I went to a bona fide bakery. The man was determined to make me blush. I feel so special. He took his index finger and moved a tress of hair out of my face. You are special. I can see that already. Things were going well up until that point. His hands on me, the way he was looking at me. I couldn't take it. I stepped away from him. Mason, I just remembered that I have to meet someone in a few minutes.
Really? You just remembered that, huh?
He asked skeptically. He knew it was a fabrication.
Yes, my friend. Darnetta. She works with me, and I promised her that I'd meet her today.
I did make a promise to Darnetta, just not for that day. He looked highly disappointed.
In that case, I guess I better leave.
Would you like a piece of pie to take with you?
No, thanks. I've suddenly lost my appetite.
I felt bad as I saw Mason out. I really did think he was nice, and he even made me laugh. That was rare. But I couldn't be with him or any other man until I figured out what was going on with me. Hopefully, Dr. Spencer would get me the help that I needed. After all, she'd also made a promise.
Chapter 11. Jude. Meredith Wilson Pierce, a.k.a. Queen Bitch. There was no way I was going to allow Joan to go out to dinner with her. Not the way Joan had been acting lately. I couldn't believe she'd actually flirted with that Mason character the day before. For the second time, no less. If she hadn't kicked his ass out the apartment, I would have, for damn sure. I wasn't used to having to take over so much. I was content to surface when Joan needed protection, and from time to time to get my sexual needs taken care of. But surfacing had become a matter of survival. Joan actually thought she could get rid of me. Never.
"Do you like this restaurant, baby?" Queenie asked me, taking a sip of her pink pony.
"Daryl and I used to come here a lot."
"Who?"
I knew who the hell she was talking about. I just felt like starting trouble.
"You remember Daryl?"
I took a sip of my lemonade. "Oh, him," I said with contempt.
"Wasn't he the one you were doing after Frank and before Brent?"
"Doing?"
"You know what I mean, Mama. Wasn't he the one you were fucking between the other two men you were fucking?"
She almost choked on her cocktail.
"Jonquinette, I don't know what's gotten into you."
I laughed,
The better question is what hasn't gotten into you. Or who, to utilize a better term.
How dare you talk to me like that? I'm your mother.
She glanced down at the porterhouse steak on my plate. When did you start eating red meat again? I thought you were on some health kick. I was truly enjoying this shit. Fucking with Meredith the bitch's head was right up there with riding some bomb-ass dick. Don't you think you're a little over the hill to be whoring? I asked her. She slammed her glass down on the table and all but broke it.
I don't know what the hell is wrong with you, young lady, but you will not disrespect me in such a fashion. I won't tolerate it. I won't tolerate it. I won't tolerate it,
I repeated mockingly.
Who says you have a choice?
She glared at me, but I met her gaze with one that made her look away. She got up from the table.
John Quinette, I've been out of the country, and I thought we should spend some time together catching up. But I don't know what comes over you when you start acting like this. Sometimes you act so evil. It's almost like there's two of you.
I smirked. What an interesting choice of words. The queen bitch started gathering her purse and keys.
Aw, leaving so soon?
I asked sarcastically. I couldn't wait for her to get the fuck out of my face.
Junquenette, maybe we can try this again next weekend when you're feeling better.
She stormed out of the restaurant, passing the waiter, toting out a tray of food on her way out. He watched her depart and asked, Will the lady be returning?
She's not a lady. She's a whore.
I lashed out at him. I waved my finger at the food. Just wrap all that up and bring me the check.
Whatever you like, madam.
He was walking away when I observed how tight his ass was. I eyed him up and down as he totaled up the bill over by the bar and came back to the table. Here's your check. I'll take it whenever you're ready. I handed him a 50. Keep the change. He grinned, realizing I'd just given him a healthy tip.
Thanks.
I grabbed his wrist and read his name tag. By the way, Antoine, what time do you get off? He had told me that he was getting off at 8. I intended to get off my damn self by 8:30. I was going to kill some time by shopping, but the stores closed early on Sunday. All except the personal favorites of people on budgets like Walmart and Target. I went to Walmart because they did have some great buys. Plus, I liked scrutinizing people. I was quite the observer. There were a few fine men in there, but all of them were on lockdown with bitches and brats surrounding them. Wimps. They just didn't know what they were missing. After purchasing some toiletries from the clearance aisle, I left Walmart and headed back to the parking lot of the restaurant. I listened to the latest popular disc jockey on the radio and plotted my course of action in my mind. When he came out the restaurant dressed in tight jeans and a leather motorcycle jacket, my pussy was suddenly aflame. I turned off the battery power in my car and climbed out, following him to the side where he was about to mount a shiny red Yamaha Z6 motorcycle. Can a sister catch a ride? He came across as being shocked when he turned to find me standing there. Then he grinned.
Long time no see.
Yeah, well, I asked you what time you got off for a reason. Look, I'm extremely flattered, but I'm kind of seeing someone right now, and I'm a brother who tries to do the right thing. I pounced on him and flicked the tip of my tongue in his ear. She'll never know because I'll never tell. He pushed me away slightly, but I could tell he wanted some pussy. They all do. Maybe some other time. Not tonight. I ran my fingers across his cheek. Listen, I'm not trying to pressure you or anything. It's just that when you waited on me in the restaurant earlier, I had this incredible fantasy about you, and the next thing I knew, I was experiencing this tremendous orgasm. He blushed. I had his ass.
Really? What was your fantasy about?
Sucking your dick. Riding you. Letting you have your way with me. I leaned closer and whispered. You look like such a powerful man. I can tell by the bike you ride that you must like powerful things. How about you let me show you some powerful pussy?
Powerful pussy? He chuckled. Can't say I ever heard it called that.
That's because you've probably never had any powerful pussy. I bet you're dealing with some chick that still has a little girl mentality. She more than likely just lays there and lets you tap that ass.
No, she can do the damn thing when she wants to. I was getting offended. No one refused to give me dick. No one. I rubbed his dick through his jeans and he grew hard instantly.
I don't want to fall in love. I don't even want you to know my name.
Let's just take a little ride on your bike.
Such a beautiful night. I promise it will be fine.
He hesitated briefly and then said,
All right, why not?
He gave me his spare helmet while he put his on. I climbed on the bike behind him and locked my arms around his waist. We pulled off into the night. I unzipped his pants and took his dick out, jacking him off as we rode. We almost crashed 3 times before ending up by a lake. It was gorgeous, and I wondered why Joan's tired ass had never bothered to check it out before. He cut the engine on his bike, and I got off, climbing back on immediately but straddling and facing him.
You cold? He asked me. You can have my jacket if you want.
No, actually, I'm the opposite. I'm very, very hot. I slid my tongue into his mouth, and he reacted. He reached up under the ugly-ass flower-pattern dress Joan had selected for church that day, slipped his fingers into the elastic of my panties, and started fingering my wetness.
See how excited you have me? I asked. Now you know why I just had to wait for you to get off.
I'm glad you did.
Just like I planned, by 8:30 I was getting my shit off. I rode him right there on top of his bike, and then we both got nude and did it again on the bank of the lake. He never asked my name. Good little puppy dog.
Chapter 12 Junkwinette. I woke up and found myself lying in the middle of my kitchen table. There was a carry-out container with half-eaten steak beside me, and I could taste the meat in my mouth. I jumped up and ran to the bathroom to inspect my teeth. There were particles of steak embedded in them. I brushed quickly and thoroughly to rid myself of the aftertaste. What the hell had happened? I went into my bedroom and discovered it was after 10. I was due into work by 9. I called, but Mr. Wilson wasn't in his office, so I left him a voicemail, telling him I was too sick to come in. After hanging up, I immediately called Mama to apologize for not meeting her for dinner, as promised the day before. She answered on the second ring, apparently using her caller ID.
Junkwinette, I really have nothing to say to you at the present time. I will call you next week.
Mama, what's wrong? I asked.
I was just calling to apologize for...
As well you should. I still can't believe you spoke to me like that last night.
Last night? I met you?
Mama paused.
Don't play dumb with me. You know good and damn well you not only met me, but you accused me of being a common whore.
Mama, I didn't.
Don't say another word. I'm busy. I have work to do. Although to hear you tell it, I spend all of my time on my knees or back.
Before I could get something together to say, she hung up on me. I couldn't wait for my next appointment with Dr. Spencer, which was 2 days away, so I called and requested to see her that afternoon. By 2, I was in her waiting room.
What's wrong, Junkwinette?
She asked when I finally managed to get into her office.
Something bad happened last night.
I managed to say through tear-drenched eyes.
Something bad like what?
I was supposed to meet my mother for dinner, and I went to church, and everything was fine, but then... Then I don't know what happened after that.
You mean you blacked out?
Exactly. I must have, because I did meet her for dinner. At least that's what she said.
And what else did she say?
She accused me of calling her names and suggesting she was a whore, and who knows what else.
Dr. Spencer propped her elbows on her desk. But you didn't do any of it?
No, I mean, I guess I did. Who else could it have been?
Junkwinette, I've been doing a lot of thinking about you since our first visit. Have you ever considered the fact that you might have multiple personalities?
I almost fainted.
Once or twice, but that doesn't make sense.
Then again, none of this makes sense. I really would like to explore that possibility. You've been plagued by these blackouts for a long time, and obviously you are doing these things. Too many people have accused you. I sunk down in the chair. There was one incident. When I was younger, in my teens, I heard my parents arguing one night. About? She asked. My father was trying to convince my mother that I needed counseling. She wouldn't hear of it. So your father felt you needed therapy? Yes, he did. I often wonder if that's what broke them up. I know that I was responsible for part of it. But then there was the other thing. I lowered my eyes to the floor. I really didn't want to put my parents' business out there that way, but opening up was opening up. I could tell she was waiting for me to continue. My mother found out my father was cheating on her. Quite frankly, I never believed it. He seemed so in love with her. But apparently the evidence was there, so...